We did a piece of work last year. There were over 500 vacancies in our nursing homes, and the managers there tell us that that situation is absolutely critical and is increasing, and we reckon there's about 1,000 there as well now. So that is quite a hole to fill.
Janice, the last time we chatted, we were hurtling towards this sort of number, and yet nothing seems to have improved. Why is that?
Well, Minister O'Neill has increased. She did increase the numbers of student nurses on our university places this year, and she's going to increase those again next year. And the problem is that about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, as a cost-saving measure, they cut the numbers of student nurses that we were training here. And you don't see the effects of that for 3 years.
Right.
And then it gets worse in year four and worse in year five. So last year we saw the worst of that. And that is the main reason why we've got that shortage in our health service today, because of those decisions that were made. And the college refers to them as cost-saving measures that were short-sighted, no workforce plan to support them, just an easy target, the nursing workforce, not fill vacant posts, and then before you know it, you're in this crisis when you cut the student numbers that you don't have enough nurses.
And of course, one of the other ongoing problems for you is that the powers that be tend to be that for a limited time, and therefore they make decisions for the now rather than the future.
Well, we certainly have had quite a lot of change in the Department of Health and in the leadership around the Department of Health. There is absolutely no doubt about that. But we did not have, in Northern Ireland, believe it or not, an overarching workforce plan, or indeed any kind of workforce plan, to plan the workforce that we needed for our health and social care services here. And that is just unbelievable. I mean, they're working on that now. They've started that work now, but it is a few years too late. And yes, some of the decisions that are made, you know, the people who make those decisions are no longer in post to actually have to deal with the consequences of them, and that is a problem. However, it should not happen, because there is professional advice at all levels in the system, and that professional advice should not be ignored, and when it is ignored, this is what happens.
Now, we had a situation where the new health minister, and I say new, 8 months ago, new health minister, and you think, well, that person is who we're going to be doing business with for the next 5 years or so. That hasn't happened. We're in another election. And, you know, the possibility is that it'll be someone else gets the health portfolio next time around.
Yep, and nurses feel absolutely desperate about that. We had the Bingoa review, and nurses participated in that. We were very pleased with the report that independent review published. Nurses could see the concerns that they had raised in both our health service and indeed our independent sector in those nursing homes, which should not be forgotten, because we have about 11,000 people being cared for in nursing home beds across the country, and those people are NHS patients who are having their care provided for them in the independent sector. So we can't forget about them either. But the whole situation has got to a level now where we are looking to recruit nurses from overseas, and we did that around the year 2000. We recruited heavily from the Philippines and India. Those nurses, many of them have made their home here and are part of our society, and we thank them for that. Now it is so much more difficult to do that because of the Home Office regulations and all that goes on around that, and the regulator, the Nurse and Midwifery Council that regulate nurses, have very stringent rules about that. But setting that aside, there's a global shortage, and the nurses in Northern Ireland are very highly trained, very highly skilled, and their value is recognised the world over, and people recruit heavily here. So if our nurses are in a pressurised system, and I could not explain to your viewers how pressurised that system is. Any of the public who have been using services will see it for themselves, and patients talk about it often, that the nurses, there's not enough of them and they just don't have enough time. If that's the system that you're working in, you know, and there's an opportunity comes up elsewhere where you think you'll be more valued, and let's not forget our nurses are the lowest paid in the United Kingdom, then nurses will make decisions and they will perhaps go elsewhere.
Can I just say to you, Janice, at this point, that as someone who last June was in the RVH for pretty major surgery, I can't speak highly enough of the nurses who looked after me. Absolutely terrific, dedicated people, working long hours, but it doesn't alter the fact that morale in the NHS is as low as it's ever been because of the constant cut away at things, and also the fact that joined up thinking seems to be something that doesn't exist.
Yep, I mean, nurses live in the real world and they understand that it is, you know, financially very challenging. They absolutely understand that. But what they don't understand is the lack of engagement with them about the provision of services. The fact that when nurses demonstrate, as they do time and again, how they can do things better, often at a lesser cost, why do we not replicate that across Northern Ireland? You know, they do not understand why they don't have enough staff. They don't even have a stable team today. They're going on duty. They don't know who they're going to be working with. They go on duty, they leave their ward at night and come on in the morning and there's another bay opened with full of patients and full of nurses that they've never met before. Can you imagine the pressure that that puts on nurses? They have no peer support, you know, they're so short-staffed, they're working hours that they're not paid, and that is just now common practice. And I'm not saying that anybody sets out deliberately to do that to nurses, but that's what the system is doing to nurses. And it's totally demoralising and they feel devalued, underpaid and absolutely uncared for.
Now, Janice, supposing I was in a position to offer you a wish list at this moment in time, what would be top of it?
Well, top of it would be a contingency plan to see us through this political unsettled period, to build on the work of the Bangor report, which we were very hopeful about, the Minister's vision, which we absolutely support 100%, and we believe that that work needs to continue regardless of the elections, who's elected and who takes the health portfolio. We cannot afford to start again with another ministerial view about what we should be doing or another party view about what we should be doing. We know what we should be doing. It's in that report, it's in that vision, and we need to get on with that.
I was at an event in the Children's Hospital whenever it was the sort of first anniversary of the MRI scanner, which was for the Regional Children's Centre, which is here, the Royal Belfast Hospital for Sick Children, as you know.
Yep.
And the minister was there and set out a very clear long-term view, which to me seemed for the first time not a band-aid approach, if I could use that term, to the whole problem. And I thought, well, we're just at the start of a five-year term. She's going to have a chance to get stuck into this, and she seems very determined to do that and very protective of the resources she has been promised to do that. And here we are 8 months later, and it could be somebody else in that portfolio. And I think, as you say, what is needed is a continuation.
Absolutely. And nurses, and indeed myself, I've heard the minister speak publicly on several occasions, and we never doubted her commitment to do the right thing. And the most important thing about the current minister is her absolute commitment to engage with staff, nurses, to engage with the public, and to design what services we need to together and to actually provide those together. And that was the thing that we know will make the absolute difference, that decisions are not made in dark rooms by people and you're told about them after they're made. You know, we've had 10 years of that, and that is just not acceptable. It's not acceptable to the people here, and it's not acceptable for the staff working in it, and certainly not nurses. So that's the thing that I think nurses feel so deflated about, and we can only hope that post-election, you know, that we do have a health minister who will continue on with that work, and we need to get moving with it. I mean, it is so urgent, you know, to get some of those services reconfigured, to get more services out into our community, and to actually take the pressure off the staff, many of whom are off work sick with work-related stress.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real problem.
Well, it is a real problem, and we have not saved money. I look at the bank and agency costs. I mean, anybody that thought they could slow recruitment and freeze vacancies and employ nurses through a bank as and when required was going to save money absolutely does not understand the complexity of having a nursing workforce that's fit for purpose and that can provide care to patients. They just did not understand it. And despite our protests, despite all the concerns that the college raised, those went unheard. And we're now in this situation, and the college has to try and support nurses as best we can to get through the other end of it, because there's going to be no easy fix to this.
Well, there is no quick or easy solution to this, but as we say, the longer term planning is what is required. Janice, thank you for coming on this morning and putting so much clarity on what is a very unhappy situation, and hopefully as many of those 2,000 nursing posts can be filled ASAP. For now, Janice Smith, thank you very much indeed. Good morning.
Thank you.
Bye.